friends, it is so good to be connected with you one more time. If you're just excited to be saved and alive, can you just go amen wherever you are in the chat? Just go amen. And just to know Jesus and to walk with him, especially this week, I'm telling you, it's been filled with so many tragic news lines, especially with the massacres and young girl shot in her home. It's just sad, and it lets me know that time is really getting short, and we have to stand and be the Christians that God has called us to be. Remember, our theme for the year is living epistles. We need to be walking Bibles that show God's example within our lives. People need to see and have hope that Christ, he makes the difference in everything. With that, we encourage you to read along with us in our Bible reading plan. We're going straight through the Bible this year from Genesis to Revelations. You can go to our website and you can link up to that particular calendar so you can get those readings every day so that we can grow more and more in the Lord. Also on our website for our first-time visitors, those that have been here a bit, or maybe you're just God directed you to ebcnc.com this morning and you're not saved. You can get more information. I'm actually planning on doing some teachings on salvation coming up in the future, the soon closer future. And so I'm just blessed to see what God is doing within the Ebenezer body as he is adding souls. With that, you'll see my backdrop. We're going to be looking at this new series, The Life of the Believer, and really going in and seeing what does a believer look like? Yeah, what does a Christian look like? Many of you who were churched, brought up in church, we have these preconceptions of what we believe a Christian should look like. But we're going to look in the Bible and get some examples from the New Testament of what our lives should be like. Also, I want you to download that app. So much information. It is growing every day. Just to encourage you to be able to connect with our different Bible studies, Monday Manna, Tuesday Noonday Bible Study, Wednesday Bible Study at 7 o'clock. We're going through the book of Luke. And we also have our Thursday in-person Bible study where we're going through the Johns now. And we'll be going into some more epistles, just studying in depth and applying it to our lives. Finally, thank you so much for your giving. Thank you for your support. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to purpose in our heart and give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God truly loves a cheerful giver. And we've been blessed at Ebenezer throughout these years. God has done exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. I know also it's tax time. If you have given online, you actually can assess that information. If you've given through our app, if you've given in our in-person services, just call the church number 336-292-8449 and we'll get it to our church administrator and she'll be able to get that information to you expeditiously so that you can apply it to your taxes. I was talking to my daughter the other day and she was like, Daddy, I already feel my taxes out. I was like, wow. So I know some of you are on it already and we thank you again for your support of the ministry. Well, I'm thinking where we're going to go to. I'm thinking about all that the Lord is doing. We've got some wonderful songs. We also have a poet today to bless our hearts. We will see you soon.
Good morning. My name is Nyla, and I'll be reading Psalms 134. Behold, bless thee, Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stands in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, that may heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion.
We've come a long way, Lord. A mighty long way. We've come a long way, Lord, a mighty long way. We bore our burdens in the heat of the day, but I know the Lord has made a way. been in the valley, and I pray night and day. I've been in the valley, and I pray night and day. I've been in the valley, and I pray night and day, and I know the Lord has made a way. We've come a long way, Lord, a mighty long way. I've had hard trials each and every day. I've had hard trials each and every day. I've had hard trials each and every day, but I know the Lord has made a way. We've come a long way, Lord, a mighty long way. We've come a long way, Lord, a mighty long way. We've come a long way, Lord, a mighty long way. We bore our burdens in the heat of the day, but I know the Lord has made a way. We come a long way, Lord, a mighty long way.
You called my name, O Heavenly Father, before the dawn of life came to pass, and my reply was but a whisper. You announced your presence to me as I was in the womb of creation, and my reply was but a whisper. You spoke to me with the gentle voice of grace that only your love can command, and my reply was but a whisper. You commanded my existence through the miracle birth of my soul, and my reply was but a whisper. You herald my name among the heavens on high, that I am your child, and my reply was but a whisper. You proclaimed my name in the book of eternal life with the resurrection of Christ Jesus, and I whispered, I believe.
It is so good to know that we have come a long way as Christians. God is really transforming us from the inside out. I just thank God for his grace and mercy. Also, I thank God for that still small voice, as Brother Hensley did that wonderful poem, just hearing his voice, that whisper, God is just so, so good. We're getting into a new series. I'll be honest, as we were going through Renew Our Mind, I was just seeing so many things. And then God just kind of moved on my heart to zoom in on the life of a believer. So many times in the life of a believer, we have notions of what a believer should look like, a Christian should look like, especially if you were churched and brought up in the church. There are a lot of ideas, you know, dress is supposed to be this length and church hats, all of these things. But we're going to look directly into the scripture to really see, okay, Lord, what do you want a Christian to be? What are you transforming us? What will that be portrayed to this world that is so, so dark, and there's so many struggles that are going on? We've got a memory scripture. I really debated on this. We had to renew our mind, the Romans 12:2 scripture that we were really focusing on for an extended period of time. And was like, man, are we getting into, you know, we're going to memorize a scripture all the time? Don't hold me to it. It's just what God is doing in my heart right now. And so I want to give you a memory scripture. We'll be going over and over this again. We're going to be reading it aloud together, so that we can get in our mind, it can seep into our heart. So that memory scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and that second through third verse. Yeah, I know you're like, Pastor, this is two verses now. What are you doing? I get it. This is actually one scripture that I'm not tremendously familiar with, have talked about it many times, but really hadn't put it to memory. So I'm going to be learning along with you also as we go through this. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, hope you get ready to read it with me, verses 2 through 3. Let's read together. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Wow, that's a powerful scripture. And I pray as we're going through this series that we will see our lives blossom, that people can see us as walking Bibles, epistles, and we can know, hey, what are God's expectations of our lives? Before we go any further, I just want to ask you to go in a word of prayer with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are a miracle maker. Lord, so many of us have gone through so many things in the last few days, but you've kept us. You've allowed us to connect. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for being our healer, Father. You use doctors and you've used medicines, but also, Lord, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Lord, I pray for those bereaved families now that have lost loved ones and that are struggling, Lord. And if they are connected with us this morning, I pray for their comfort, Lord. If people are looking in today that don't know you, I pray that you would allow today to be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart, Father, that you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Now, Lord, I ask you to please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a child can be transformed to your likeness. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You are our guide. Would you please lead us into all truth? We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you put in that chat, just say amen. The Lord has just been so, so good, just affirming his grace within our lives. Today, we want to go into Acts 16 again. Yes, we worked through the latter part, but as I was working through the latter part, I was like, man, Lord, would you allow me to talk about this first part of the chapter? And so he's given me the liberty to go back. So I want you to focus on Acts chapter 16 and verse 15 with me. Acts 16, verse 15 with me. It reads, "And when she and her household were baptized," that's Lydia, "she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." Read that again, Acts 16 and 15. "And when she," or Lydia, "and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." I want to speak from a title today. One word, faithful. Faithful. If you're taking notes, please write that down. If you're on the chat, can you just type that out? Faithful. Even looking at the word, it has a picturesque part of it, that faithful. I want to define it because a lot of times we talk about things being faithful, but as we're looking at the life of the believer and this transformation process that's taking in our heart, I wanted to go back to the Greek and actually look at that word and its meaning. It's pistos, defined as trusty or having served for a long time, and it's trustworthy and reliable. As I look at our society, if we were honest with one another, it's hard to find people that are faithful, whether in friendships, whether in marriage, relationships, but most importantly, to the calling that Christ has put within our lives. Time frame again, 50-52 AD, Paul the Apostle, Silas, and Luke are coming together, and they're on this second missionary journey, and God is doing so many amazing things within their lives, and also as God is using them in the community. Let's just jump into this section, Acts 16:6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, and look at this, very important, but the Spirit did not permit them. Here's our point. I want you to get this one because there's a lot of things we want to unpack in those two scriptures there. The point is go, permission, Spirit. Yes, go, permission, Spirit. And I just put a little acronym there, GPS. Yes, Holy Spirit, GPS. Lord just put a lot of thoughts on my heart that I really want you to get. He spoke to me and says, as Christians, we should desire to go anywhere for the Lord, but we need permission by the Spirit. I want to read that again to you. As Christians, we should desire to go anywhere for the Lord, but we need permission by the Spirit. This is important as we're growing in the Lord, as we're looking at the life of the believer, some who are on fire, you know, fervent for God, they want to do things for the Lord. But as we are going to look closer at that scripture, we need permission of God. We need to know where God wants to use us to be effective. Sometimes we've gone places that the Lord did not desire us to go. Charles Ryrie, a professor of systematic theology, he actually writes of these particular scriptures, the kind of context of the time. He says, Asia needed the gospel, but this was not God's time. Need did not constitute their call. This is critical. I want to say that again. Need did not constitute their call. They had just come from the east. They had been forbidden to go south or north, but they did not presume that the Lord was leading them to the west. They waited his specific directions. Logic alone is not the basis for a call. As we're looking for at the life of the believer and what we're called for and to do for the Lord, please understand we can't depend on our mind many times. Our logic can really be messed up. It can be contrary. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so we have to listen, that whisper. We've got to listen to the voice of the Lord. Let's look closely at Acts 16:6. As they're desiring, and God has already been using them, notice it says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. We often do not hear about this as we look at the life of a believer, that the Holy Spirit can forbid them from doing something. Please understand, this was something good. This was sharing the gospel, the good news. But the Holy Spirit says, no, I don't want you to go there now. I have another place for you to go. So Paul is used to hearing the Holy Spirit, those that are in his entourage, praying, seeking the Lord. Notice that Acts 16:7, it says, again, as they were trying to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Man, this is the Holy Spirit life. This is the life of the believer, that we are literally being led of the Holy Spirit, that we're getting permission. Wherever we want to go, we've got to make sure that we get permission from the Spirit within our lives. How many times have we gone to a place without the Spirit's permission? Yeah, his consent. We got there. And yeah, we wanted to do a good thing, but it wasn't the place that God wanted us to be in. I just want to give you four quotes from different people that actually looked at the power of Holy Spirit leadership, GPS, this go, this permission, the Spirit of God leading us. Henry Blackaby, a notable author and teacher, he writes this. He said, God speaks through a variety of means. And the present God primarily speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. Now, this is critical. I've been encouraging you as we've been going through the series, Renew Our Mind, and now looking at the life of the believer, to read your Bible. We've got Bible plans, and we've been doing this a few years, reading through the Bible as a church family. That's going to cause us to grow. Prayer, we need to pray. We've got to get out of just habitual prayer where we just kind of say a prayer every day, but we think about what we're praying about and as we're walking through our days, and also have time in our homes that we can go into our secret closets, those places that we can be quiet before the Lord and we can talk to Him, but most importantly, we can hear from Him. The writer Cori Boom, Tin Boom, she writes this very powerful statement. She says, trying to do the Lord's work in your own stream is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. Any amens out there? But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. That is powerful. As I think about even my life, and I've been in those points of getting out of God's will and trying to do something, man, it is so exhausting. But when you get into the sweet spot, I have a saying, and it wasn't my original, but I've just kind of adopted. You need to stay in your lane. You need to stay in the lane that God has called you to be, because that's the place where you're going to have peace. That's where you're going to be most productive. And even though you may get tired sometime, you get your strength renewed by the Lord to continue in the work. Dwight Moody, he speaks of the Spirit's leadership as an evangelist. He says, there is not a better evangelist in the world than the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just leading us, helping us to focus in. And then finally, Watchman Nee, a Chinese church leader, he says this, many saints cannot distinguish inspiration from emotion. Actually, these two can be defined readily. Emotion always enter in from the man's outside, whereas inspiration originates with the Holy Spirit in man's spirit. Isn't that good? So many times we're driven by emotion from the outside. We have to be careful in our worship times because music is so powerful. It can push us and it opens up an emotional state, but we've got to realize that we must be stabilized from the inside. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? That means that I can go in the presence of God without music. That means that I can go in the presence of God without anybody hyping me up. Thank God for those talents and gifts that may be around us and our musical, I want to say CDs, I'm dating myself, but my MP3s and all those things we have on YouTube and Spotify and other things. But there must be some music that's in our heart. There must be some melody that's in our heart that when we think about God's grace and mercy, we can enter in. Just because God is good, even though we don't feel like it, we know that's what we are created to do. I'm talking about that life of the believer and faithful. Romans 8:14 says it like this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And you put in the chat, LED, led. This is so important. He leads us. He guides us. He leads us into all truth. So many times as believers, we can run ahead. Consequently, our lives don't look like what God would have them to look like. Jesus taught this in John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. I'm talking about that GPS, go, permission, the Spirit's guidance, faithful. Look at Acts 16:8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Here's the point. Where is the need? Yes, where is the need? This is critical. The Lord put this on my heart. Christians will be led of the Spirit to the need that God has equipped us to help. Wow, isn't that good? I'm telling you, just speaking the life of the believer and what it should look like. Again, Christians will be led of the Spirit to the need that God has equipped us to help. This is so important, because God has put specific skill sets and talents in you that are different from me. And God is saying, I want to use you for this specific setting. I want to take you to this specific place, because from the foundations of the earth, I infused what was needed for that situation. So as we're led of God and we want to be faithful to the calling, that picture of a Christian, God is saying, I need you to get to the right place. I find out that so many people want to go places that have already been established. Yeah, their ministries are already going, all of those things, and they just kind of want to just plug in. But saints of God, most of the times, they don't really need the help. It's those gray areas. It's those skill sets and gifts and talents, as said before, that God is raising up and blooming and putting desires within our hearts, that God is asking us to step forward to that particular need. There's some things that you see that I don't see. There's some needs that you see that I don't see. I have this saying that if it moves you, you should move in. There's so many people say, Pastor, I see this. This is a need. This is a need. I'm like, that's great. But has God put that in your heart for a specific situation that you can step up, that your ministry, your life as a believer can blossom, can be seen by others, that souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth? I pray that we all be like Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Any amen? Just say, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. Acts 16:9. Let's look at this a little closer. Paul is directed by this vision. It says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. In context, the man symbolized the gospel coming to Europe. My family and I, we've been blessed to travel to Europe in different areas. There is so much history is there. And just to think about, you know, how God is moving and sharing the gospel in the past and even now. Historian James Stalker, he agrees with this thought pattern and writes, the man of Macedonia represented Europe and his cry for help, Europe's need of Christ. I just want to stop just briefly there. As you look at the news, there is a lot of strange things that's going on in Europe. We've got this NATO alliance, and we've got the things that are going on with Russia and Ukraine and Germany. People are having to step up. There's some strange occurrences that are happening. Even many of the churches that were there that had blossomed up, many of them, they've kind of shut down. They've got these historical structures that are still there, but people are not going. There is a coldness within the land. Notice Paul recognized in the vision a divine summons, and the very next sunset, in which bathed gold light shone upon his figure seated on the deck of a ship, the prow of which was moving towards the shore of Macedonia. Who's pleading for us? What visions are we? Is there somebody on your job that really needs to hear the good news, that really needs to see a true life of believer? Some of them have characters of Christians that are just not true. They've been brought up in a place that was legalistic, that they didn't see the true fruit of the Spirit in people's lives. And they're hoping and desiring that Jesus is real, that Jesus is still in the saving business. Who is crying out for you to step up and be an example of faithfulness to God? Who's crying out in our community that needs to hear the voice of the Lord? I'm telling you, as I look at at these mass murderers that have taken place, and people's lives have been impacted by this. It's so sad because I'm thinking, who's crying out? That Asian American who shot those people, was there a Christian that passed by his way? Had he cried out? Was there someone that missed that intersection of time that could have prevented all of this mayhem that's going on? I'm telling you, we have to step up. We've got to be faithful to the word of God. We've got to be faithful to the Spirit's call. Maybe there is a potential thief that's out there and they're crying out, God, show me a sign. Would you be that sign that God can use to show? Maybe there's a marriage on the verge of breaking up, but yet God can use you to, as his faithful follower, to be an example of who he is. Would you step up? Would you be the one to be faithful to the voice of the Lord? Look at Acts 16. And 11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside. Can you just say riverside and just type it? I know it's a little long word. The riverside, I love that. Where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Here's the point, one word, opportunity. Yes, opportunity. So as we're looking at the life of the believer and what are the traits of a believer and this whole title that we've been dealing with, faithfulness, God wants to use us in a special way. He says, as Christians, we should always look for an opportunity to share Christ. Are you hearing me here? As Christians, we should always look for an opportunity to share Christ. I've been in some situations, and I talked to my wife, and there's some situations that, I'll be honest, my flesh comes up. I don't want to share Christ. Not that he's not good, but sometimes you're in a situation where people around you, maybe they're rubbing you the wrong way. Maybe they've been mean or hateful. But as a Christian, having the calling, we've got to push past our flesh and go, okay, God, if you want to use me, if you want me to speak into this situation, Lord, I'll be used of you, because that's what the life of a believer all is. We've got to live ourselves in a malleable way, a way that God can mold us and shape us in any particular situation. Notice here in this Acts 16, 13 again, and on the Sabbath day, they're looking for this opportunity, went out of the city to the riverside. So in context, this was kind of their synagogue, that on that Sabbath day that people would come out to pray. And so Paul and his entourage, Silas and Luke, they got together and say, okay, let's go. Let's go to the riverside where the people are, because we want to hear the voice of the Lord for opportunity to share the good news. Where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, this is God's grace and mercy, because even in that time, there were so many laws that were against men talking to women in these particular situations. But God's grace had been shown here, because now the good news is going to come forth with power. The to be faithful is to make time. Here it is, to be available for God. Can you just type available? I'm going to work here today. If you're sitting in your living room, just say available, available. This is a powerful thought, because we're so busy. We're so caught up within the things that we want to do. We're so caught up with our social media platforms and so caught up with our jobs and this and that we don't make ourselves available. I'm telling you, one tactic of the enemy against the believer is to get us so caught up in the stuff of this world that we miss out on being available to God. When God wants us to do something, we're like, no, I would, Lord, but I got to do this. God says, I want you to go over here. No, I would, Lord, but I need to do this. I tell you, within our lives, debt can be a big thing. When God says, you know what, I want you to give to this particular thing, Lord, I can't do that because I got this bill and that bill. But we got to make ourselves available and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to step out. I want you to help me to have my life that it's open for your movement and your leadership. I want to be faithful to you. Notice this, Acts 16:14, how it unfolds. Now, a certain woman named Lydia. Can you just say Lydia? My quick type is, would you put that there? Lydia heard us. I love this. Notice she is a business lady here. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Here's a point. This is very familiar to you. Should be familiar. Those that are part of Ebenezer. Each one reach one. Yes, each one reach one. I'm amazed at how God uses the life of the believer to actually impact other people. When I look at my life and I look at others' lives and how, you know, God can use them to connect with one person, and then that person connects with another person, and that person connects with another person. I'm telling you, it is beautiful being led of the Spirit and being faithful to God's voice. It's the picture of a magnet. You know, magnets have that north and south pole, and the magnetized, and the metals that are around them actually pick up that magnetism, and they're pulled to it. That's the way God wants us. He wants us to be magnets. He wants us to put us in the situation. That's what Paul was doing. They were by that riverside, and they were just magnets with the power of God drawing people. But please notice within the scripture, God opened up the heart of Lydia and others that were listening to them. That's what our lives should be, that people can see us, and when we talk, that they sense the power and the anointing of the Lord, and they want what we have. Not that we can give them something out of ourselves, but we can give them Jesus that has put his Spirit on the inside. He's the only one that can save, deliver, and set free. Notice as they're in this place of prayer, Acts 16:14, it says, Lydia heard us. Yes, she heard us. Some people, they can come to the fellowship, or they can be connected online, but they're not really hearing. But her heart is open up. She was this seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Thyatira was known for its different dyes. I found it interesting, those who are going through our Bible reading program with us in Genesis, you'll see in Exodus, specifically as it talks about the law, it talks about these different colors and these different dyes. God likes different colors that show the beauty of who he is. She uses purple here, but notice she was a worshiper of God. Now, I want to explain this. So she's a purple seller of Thyatira named Lydia, and she worshiped God, but she did not understand about Jesus Christ. She did not understand about the Savior. So there are a lot of people that believe in God, that they love God, but they have not come to the thought pattern that there is only one way to God, and that's Jesus Christ. There ought to be some amens. And that's the gospel that we preach. That's the news, that the good news, that Jesus Christ, he carried our sins and bore our griefs, and he's the propitiation for our sins. Notice the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. That's what we need to really pattern our lives by, that God will send us in places, and we understand it's not us opening their hearts, it's God that's opening our heart. God wants us to experience this, each one reaching one. I ask you the question, what's the last person that you've reached for Christ? Yes. What's the last person that you've impacted that they can be led to Christ? I think every believer should have someone, some thought, and like, yeah, the Lord led me to share the good news with such and such, and their hearts were touched, and maybe they didn't come to my fellowship, but they connected with another fellowship. But the most important part is that their souls were saved and came to the knowledge of the truth. Maybe you're a parent, and you know your primary job as parents is to raise up disciples to share the good news, and prayerfully that your children will be saved early in life and come to the knowledge of the truth of him. We are called to be faithful in every aspect of our lives. Jesus spoke this in Matthew 4:19. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I'm talking about faithful. Now, within this scripture, just want to give you just a little bit background. Oftentimes, we think about a fishing rod when we read these types of scripture and being faithful to God. But really, it was a net. This was the fishing practices of the time, that they would actually throw out that net. And in throwing out that net, they would literally be at the mercy of where the fish were. God would allow the fish to actually get into the net. And it was the example of our lives. We throw out that net. We get into the place of need. We find out where God is calling us, and we throw out that good news, and God directs by his grace and mercy people into the net, the gospel net. There ought to be some shouts of praise. I'm telling you, as we're faithful to the Lord, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly. We say that so often, but he is in our lives, and we should have peace that flows like a river within us to know that he wants to use us today. Look at this, Acts 16:15, as we begin to pull this all together. And when she, Lydia, and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Final point, hospitality. Yes, hospitality. And so now we're looking at some fruits. What happens as we're saved and we start out as baby Christians? There is a transformation process. Romans 12:2, we talked about that. We're being changed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. As we look closely at Acts 16:15, notice, and when she and her household were baptized. We saw that on last Sunday when we were dealing with the series, Renew Our Minds, with Paul and Silas. They were beaten, and then that jailer came to himself and said, you know, what must I do to be saved? He was saved as well as his household. Do you see this example, how God wants to use us? Notice Lydia is saved, and her household is also saved. Why? Because she was an example to her household of God opening her heart, each one reach one, and now this faithfulness is coming out that her whole household is saved and they are baptized. I'm telling you, this is good news. I've seen it happen like this. I've seen how God can add to the body of Christ, and I encourage you as new believers, even though there's some adversity coming against you, even though sometimes some family does not believe that you have been saved and delivered and set free, you just stay focused on God. You just keep hearing his voice, keep walking. I'm telling you, God is able to turn it around. Somebody need to scream out, he can turn it around. Some of you seen him work. Are there any witnesses out there? You've seen your family members saved and delivered and set free simply because you decided to fall down before the Lord and cry out to him, and God was able to come in the nick of time and change your situation. I'm telling you, this is so good to know this. This thought came in my mind. Christianity is contagious when we are led of the Holy Spirit. Any hallelujahs? Christianity is contagious. I'm telling you, it is hard to deny when God is working in a Christian's life. When you can see the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about a shout when you run around the church. That can be real and that can be substantial. But I'm talking about when you can shout in your own house, when you can shout at Walmart, when you're thinking about the goodness of the Lord and people see you on a consistent basis lifting up Christ. Not necessarily. I'm not talking about a cross hanging on your chest. That's not what we can have cross. I'm not talking about just carrying a Bible in your hand. But I'm talking about people that are sincere, people that are loving, people that are kind, people that'll speak a word, people that you can depend on. I'm talking about faithful. Notice, she says, I want you to know that I'm faithful, and I'm going to show you that. She begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. Hospitality. See, there's something that must happen within our lives when we have been changed. I tell you, that's good news. There's something that must happen within our lives when we have been changed. People are going to see something different within our lives. And Lydia said, please, if you judge me to be faithful, if you think I got this and I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's not just the baptism that I've walked through, but I want to show you some hospitality. Would you please come over to my house? To live the life of a believer means that we are going to be hospitable. We are going to open up those
those things that God has blessed us. When is the last time that you invited someone to the fellowship and said, you know what, I'll come by and pick you up? When is the last time that you reached out to someone, some coworker, or maybe in your community, say, you know what, come over my house, let's share in a meal, and God could open up an opportunity for you to share the good news? Peter sums up today's lesson with these wonderful words, 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Saints, the end is on its way. We got to be serious about this. We've got to live that life that God is calling us to live. And above all things, having fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. I'm learning this. There are people that are in some situations. They've made bad choices. And as a pastor, as a fellow believer, I'm having to come to this point and say, God, I want to show love in this situation. Lord, help me to take out my preconceptions and my legalism and my thought patterns. And I want to show Jesus in this situation so that their souls can be saved and come to the knowledge of him. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Let's not complain. Let's thank God for places to be hospitable. Thank God for being able to invite people. Thank God that we can afford eggs and we can invite somebody over to share in our eggs. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister to it to the one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. I'm talking about the life of the believer being faithful, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Yes, Lydia, the purple dye seller, she's been saved and delivered and set free. She's been added to the body of Christ. Her household has been saved. But I want you to know the only way she could be saved is by understanding the one that went to the cross of Calvary. Jesus, we talked about him, the one who carried our sins and bore our griefs, the one who died on that cross. They put him in a cold grave, but yet he got up on the third day with all power and all glory. That's the Jesus that we proclaim. That's the Jesus that's changing people's lives. We are believers. We are living epistles. We are God's example left in this world. Saints, it is time to step up. It's time to be faithful. So many of us have dedicated our time to many things that we're faithful. Some of you are on diets that you're faithful. Some of you exercise faithfully. Some of you go to your jobs faithfully. We do a lot of things faithfully. But when we look at our lives as believers, are we faithful to the leadership of the Lord? His voice, that whisper. Are we faithful when God allows us to go to our jobs and community and other areas? Are we faithful to hear the Lord and do what he would have us to do? If you're listening in, viewing, and you don't know Christ, I want to invite you. The gospel net has been thrown. Would you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and said, you will be saved? You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because he saved me and he saved others. And I've seen him do wonderful things. He can save you too. Just confess that you're a sinner, that you need a savior. And I'm telling you, that Holy Spirit, that gift will come into your heart and the transformation will take place. For the saints, my challenge to you is that we look more like the calling that God has put on our lives. Yes. Not just in how we dressed on the outside, but we start putting on that full armor on the inside and standing forth and not be ashamed of the good news. The world needs to see true believers. The world needs to see us live the life that Christ has died for. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you. Lord, even as I ask the saints to pray with me, I ask them to pray for me also. For I'm a believer just as they are. And I pray for them, God, that they will be all that you call them to be. Lord, as they pray for me, that I'll be all that you've called me to be. Help us to embrace this life as a believer, knowing that it's going to be tough at times. We're going to go through. But Lord, it is all worth it to hear you say, well done. Lord, I thank you for the souls that you have saved and added to the body of Christ recently. I thank you for those who will come to the knowledge of the truth today. Lord, I thank you what you're doing in the future. God, thank you for holding back you coming back so that more souls, Lord, there are more souls, like you're making us magnets, drawing people in, that remnant. Lord, I thank you for that. Finally, Lord, I ask for forgiveness. Lord, would you forgive us for the times that we were faithless? Forgive us for the time that we were selfish and so focused in on ourselves. So, Lord, I just thank you for who you are, and I welcome your presence more and more in our lives. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. And the people of God said, amen.
I know that heaven is a beautiful place because the Bible tells me so. Where two rivers run through the middle and the streets are paved with gold. Where all of God's children are going to meet up there in the city, so bright and fair. Whoa, I know that heaven is a beautiful place because the Bible tells me so. Where two rivers run through the middle and the streets are paved with gold. Where all of God's children are going to live up there in the city, so bright and fair. Ooh. Well, you know that I sing because I'm happy,
because I'm happy.
Well, you know that I sing
because I'm free.
And one of these mornings, you're gonna look for me, and I'll be in a city so bright and fair. Ooh,
I know that heaven is a beautiful place because the Bible tells me so. Where two rivers run through the middle and the streets are paved with gold. Where all of God's children are going to live up there in the city, so bright and fair. Ooh.
Oh, you know that I sing
because
I'm happy,
because I'm happy.
Don't you know that I sing
because
I'm free,
because I'm free.
And one of these mornings, you're gonna look for me, and I'll be in a city so bright and fair. Oh yeah.
Heaven is a beautiful place because the Bible tells me so. Where two rivers run through the middle and the streets are paved with gold. Where all of God's children are going to live up there in the city, so bright